First Samuel. And I think we're looking at chapter 8, if I remember right. Looked at several scriptures this evening, so. Nope. 2 Samuel 8. Get in the right book and I'll be okay. So here we have David. He's just become king over all of Israel, and he's begun to lead Israel in what God has been trying to get them to do for ever since they acquired the land, get rid of the other nations that were there. He begins with defeating the Philistines. You'll remember through the life of Saul and before that, the Philistines have been a pain continually to Israel. So let's read 2 Samuel chapter 8. We're going to go ahead and read the whole thing. And after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. Then David took Methagamah out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. And David smote also had Hadadezer, the son of Rahab, king of Zobah, as he went out to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. And David hold all the chariots' horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to succor Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David slew of the Syrians 22,000 men. And David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants to David and brought gifts. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem, and from Betah and from Berothai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took exceeding much brass. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had smitten all the hosts of Hadadezer, then Toi sent Joram his son unto King David to salute him, and to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and smitten him. For Hadadezer had wars with Toi, and Joram brought with him vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of brass, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord, with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued, of Syria and of Moab, and of the children of Ammon, and of the Philistines, and of Amalek, and of the spoil of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David gat him a name when he returned from smiting the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. And he put garrisons in Edom, throughout all Edom put he garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And David reigned over all Israel. David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests. And Sariah was the scribe. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were chief rulers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this account, this summary of the military actions that David took at the beginning of his reign. And thank you, Lord, that it is thorough and gives us a glimpse of what was going on in that area. And Lord, how history and archaeology corroborate this. We thank you for that. Thank you that your word has been preserved through the ages. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so tonight, obviously, we're looking at the Bible meeting history and the life of David. Let's go to the first slide here. That's great. Well, give me a minute.
How about we sing another song there?
All right, see if we can get this to work now. And the next slide. All right. Okay, so David ruled Israel. Oh, before I get into that, last week I was looking at dates and I mentioned that something didn't look right in the dates. It was that thing of counting backwards in the BC that messed me up again. All the dates were fine last week, just as a side note. So David ruled Israel for 40 years, from 1055 until 1015 BC. He was anointed by Samuel when he was 20 years old. He was anointed by Judah in Hebron when he was 30 years old, and he was anointed over all of Israel when he was either 37 or 38. The reason I say that is he ruled over Hebron, or from Hebron, for 7.5 years. So I guess, you know, whichever side his birthday fell on, whether he'd be 37 or 38. So that's that slide. Let's move on to the next one. And that's not necessarily David, that's just an old statue, slightly Hebrewish. So, nations that David dealt with, we have here, I missed Amalek when I was typing, I thought I had it. But anyway, the ones that we have here in Scripture, we have Philistia, Moab, Edom, Ammon, Syria, Amalek as well. Those would be the nations that David dealt with the most. Some of these nations had dealings with Egypt. It is entirely likely that he could have dealt with Egypt some, but the Bible doesn't talk very much about that. In fact, Shishak, who we see come up later in the Bible, Solomon makes an alliance with him, and then Shishak comes against Rehoboam. So he would have taken power in Egypt during David's reign. All right? Just to give you a bit of perspective what's going on. But if you remember last week, Egypt is in a decline. Everything, for the whole 100 years over Saul and David and into Solomon, Egypt as a nation is just going downhill. Greece as an area, remember there's different city nations or small nations in the area of Greece and Turkey. They're also in a decline. In fact, many people have called it the Dark Ages of Greece. For that 100-year period, there's just really nothing for that whole time. The main force in this time, aside from Israel and Phoenicia, is Assyria. We looked at that last week as well. Tilgath-Pileser I was Saul's counterpart in Assyria, and then after Tilgath-Pileser, his kingdom ended about the middle or the latter half of Saul's. And although he established the great kingdom, certain parts of it began, like some of the borders began to diminish. We'll see that in a minute as well. Philistia is subdued by David. Moab is also subdued by David. Edom is temporarily subdued by David. Ammon is subdued. Syria is David's enemy during his reign. They go back and forth. There's never really a victory either way. There's just short-term victories. City kingdoms that we see David dealing with is Tyre. Who remembers the king of Tyre? Real quick here. Come on. Hiram, very good. Hiram, king of Tyre, was David's ally and a very strong ally. We'll see why in a moment. Zobah is a city kingdom associated with Syria. And Zion, of course, the Jebusites were there and David removed them and took over Zion and called it Jerusalem. Let's go to the next slide. All right, first of all, we'll look at Hiram, the king of Tyre. He was David's ally. He was his first and primary ally, so that's why we'll look at him first. He is documented to be a king of Phoenicia. Now, this is interesting because we hear about the Phoenicians being traders and having a great influence. And as we mentioned last week, historians have stated that as far as this area of the world, or the known world really, Israel and Phoenicia were the most influential in that period. Assyria was influential, but remember, they were going across the Near East. So that was an area that history doesn't document all that well, other than the Assyrian writings. So Israel and Phoenicia were the most influential in this 100-year period. But oftentimes when we're reading the Bible, we go, who is this Hiram king of Tyre? Where is Tyre? What's this all about? Why does he have all these cedars of Lebanon and all these things? What's going on here? Well, Tyre is an area, is a city kingdom inside of the greater kingdom, or the alliance of Phoenicia. And so Phoenicia was, if you remember right, they're the first major trading nation of of documented history. There's other nations that traded, there's other nations that explored, but Phoenicia really went out there early on. They had, remember, they had begun, you begin to see them more and more over the last 100 years, or the 200 years ago is what we were looking at, and in the last 100 years they become established, and this 100 years, in line with Saul and David, they've really become a trading power. And so when you read your Bible and you read about Hiram, the king of Tyre, and you wonder where all his wealth and power came from, it's because he was one of the kings of Phoenicia. And because of the trading prowess that they had settlements all over. Remember last week we looked at, they established Cadiz, and also that town in Portugal. Lisbon, thank you. I started to say a different one, and you know how you get a mind blank if you say the wrong thing first. So Lisbon, Portugal, Cadiz, Spain, were Phoenician outposts. Also Utica, which later became Carthage, was a Phoenician outpost directly under King Hiram, when you look back in history. Josephus records Hiram as living 53 years and reigning for 34. So he's not just in the Bible, he's in the Phoenician king list, and he's also recorded by Josephus. There's not a lot of records about him, but he is there. He's known to have made Tyre independent. That up until this point, when you hear about Tyre, you always think of Tyre and what? Tyre and Sidon, right. So up until this point, they were under Sidon. They were kind of just an extension of Sidon. Sidon was the capital, if you will, or the mother city. But under Hiram, Tyre became equally powerful in the alliance of Phoenicia. All right, let's go to the next one. All right. Then we see in verse 9 of 2 Samuel 8, when Toi, king of Hamath, or Toi, heard that David had smitten the host of Hadad-Ezer, then Toi sent Joram, his son, unto King David. So who's this guy? He's a city king, obviously. He's over Hamath. Who remembers what, without reading the slide, who remembers what nation or alliance Hamath was under? If you know your Bibles, if you know this portion of your Bibles, you should know. Come now. Philistia. So he was a Philistine king. So it's interesting in a way. Hey, David is vanquished the southern Philistines. Hamath is a northern Philistine kingdom, so it would be up there on the border of Syria towards Damascus. And it's interesting to me how you know, when he was running away from Saul, he went and made an alliance with the Philistines. And hereafter, he's king over all of Israel, and he's vanquished the southern Philistines, those who he had previously had alliance with. This northern Philistine king comes and says, have an alliance with me. It's a little bit different because he's offering to be under David in a sense. He's offering to be subservient to him. He's recognizing him as a higher power, but also as a rescuer. He's one of the people that in history, more modern history, archaeologists and historians have said, well, who is this guy? They've tried to discredit the Bible. They've tried to discredit David because they don't know who this guy is. In 2003, a German archaeologist named Kay Kohlmeier, he was digging in southern Syria in a place called Aleppo. He was excavating an 11th century temple of their storm god. He was working on that for 7 years. And in 2003, some carvings from that. So this is what the Philistines, how they depicted themselves in the 11th century. Anyway, he unearthed a tablet. And on this tablet, it said, I am Ty, the hero, king of Palestine. An 11th century writing, so time of David, and in Philistine spelling, so slightly different, you have a king writing in the temple, which is where they would have kept their royal records. I am Ty, the hero, king of Palestine. Right there. God's preserved. There's not many other writings from this temple, but one of them that's there is a writing that says the Bible is true. Let's go on to the next slide. One more note on that. You don't have to go back, but sometimes when you're looking at artist depictions and you're going, how do they know how to draw these people, what they look like? And that's something that we learn from archaeology, like in that carving there. You have their own depiction of what they look like. So then an artist can take and they can fill out the colors and put it more on in a normal body-looking form. So that's oftentimes where we get our understanding of how different cultures dressed at different points in time. All right, we have here a map of... here we've got Israel split. For later on, after Rehoboam, you have the kingdom of Judah to the south and kingdom of Israel to the north with the capital of Samaria. So this is a later map, but it gives the general idea of what we're looking at in the time of David as well for the other nations. David had a number of conflicts with Hadadezer of Syria. Archaeology has not confirmed the name of the king of Syria at this point in time, okay? But what they have shown of the historical records of the Syrians in this period are right along with what the Bible says. As you read 2 Samuel 8 and you see the conflicts that are mentioned, the people that are involved in the conflicts, it is the same as what historical accounts talk about the Syrians in this period of time. This is before Syria, or during a period where Syria was not established as a nation. They were an alliance of cities, which makes sense here. You have Hamath, which is on the side of it, so it's under Palestine or Philistines at this time, but it's right on the border of it. So you see the conflict with Syria. You see that Rehob or Hadadezer are king of Zobah, and they have a border at the river Euphrates. And then you see that, I want you to notice here, verse 3 says, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, okay? And then it says, when the Syrians of Damascus, in verse 5, came to succor Hadadezer. So you see city kingdoms. They're both Syrians, but you're looking at the Syrians from Zobah and the Syrians from Damascus. And they're helping each other. So city kingdoms, And that goes right along with history at this point. Why is that? Why was Syria a power 100 years earlier and reduced back to city kingdoms at this point? If you'll remember from last week, Tiglath-Pileser had just vanquished the entire Near East, including Syria. But he died and the fringes of his kingdom fell apart, including Syria. The Hittite power, as we looked at last week, the Hittite power had just fallen apart. And in this period of history, the Syrians are called by archaeologists and historians Aramaeans, which means they're in the river valley of Aram. That's why they call them the Aramaeans. But they're talking about the Syrians when you hear about the Aramaeans. And we see that in this period of time, the Syrians are fighting with the Philistines and with Europeans to gain control of the failing Hittite lands. Well, where was the failing Hittite lands? This area. Right in between what would have been Philistia and Phoenicia, which had the European influence, and Syria. So the Assyrian Empire up here is diminishing for a short time. The empire that used to be right here just kind of fell apart. And you have these guys and these guys and these guys all fighting to control this area of land. What does the Bible say? David is smiting everybody around him. He vanquishes the Philistines. He fights with Hadadezer, the Syrians, and he slays them. And then the Philistines that were fighting with Hadadezer come and do obeisance to David. Again, it parallels perfectly. All right, let's go to the next one. Okay, now elsewhere in the world, we'll just look at two other sites today. In China, the Shang Dynasty has given way to the Zhou Dynasty in 1045 BC, so towards the middle of David's reign. And King Zhou of Shang, and I'm probably not saying them right, but anyway, he's said to have been wise and quick and able. He's the last king of Shang. But he fell to adultery. Now, the reason I mention him is he's kind of interesting in that he fell to adultery, but later in the next dynasty, he was deified as the protector of marriages. Sometimes you got to wonder what people are thinking. But China was also a nation where they deified their emperors, and they make him gods over different things. Well, this one who fell to adultery and lost the dynasty, he lost the kingdom for his family. Let's make him God, the god of protector of marriages. It's just amazing how the sin-laden mind thinks backwards. I think I have one more. Yes. All right. So in North America, the reason I haven't really mentioned this before is we don't really have dates, but before this time or from this time and before, we have evidence of some of the main Native American tribes in North America. You have the Cochise, the Athapascans, which would have been up in Alaska and going across Canada, and the Sakwak, which would have been up into Greenland, and the Algonquin, and the Aleutians. You find them all with their roots going back around and before the time of David. That's interesting. You know, we look at South America and we see the Olmecs and the Aztecs and the Mayans and all those people, but we don't really stop and think of North America very much. But we're familiar with these names, because these tribes, particularly like the Cochise and the Algonquins, they were around right until the time the settlers came, and there's still people today that are, you know, they're part of those tribal families. and you find their records, or their at least their archaeological evidence, goes back to paralleling the time of David. So giving you a picture again what's happening on our side of the world. And they were much the same, farming type people as they were when the settlers came into the 1500s. All right, that's what we have for tonight. So we'll look at some more next week into the life of Solomon. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for history. Thank you that it teaches us we're not alone. We're not just moving forward, but you have had your hand on the world the whole time. And all things that go on in this world are within your time. And Lord, there is an expected end, as you have said in your word. Lord, we're not overcoming obstacles. We're not taking over the earth to make it our own. But Lord, you have it in your hand, and you will vanquish it and its sin one day. And help us to live in a understanding of this in our daily walks. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?